games are over, the talking begins. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
Hugh Keevans, Cammy Bell and Gordon Dieler still here. We want to reflect on today's action and, of course, look ahead to tomorrow, which cannot possibly be a letdown. It just can't. Even if the games are rubbish and dull and nothing happens, even if they were both 0-0, that would be significant because it would mean nobody would gain on Hearts. There would be further drop points everywhere. So it is guaranteed to be dramatic one way or the other tomorrow, and we'd like to hear from you ahead of it. 0141 951 1025. Kelly are getting better. Can they stop Celtic tomorrow? Should Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain start? Is there anything else you want to get off your chest? The big one that follows it, second against first, Derek McInnes and Hearts looking to keep up their unbeaten run against the Old Firm sides this season. What team should Danny Rule pick this time? Is it must win for Rangers? So many questions on the back of what's been an enjoyable day today, Hugh Keevans.
Yeah, and with lots of consequences for the clubs involved, because if Kilmarnock were to beat Celtic, if they'd move on to the same number of points as St Mirren, and St Mirren would be joint second bottom of the Premiership. So they're concerned about tomorrow as much as the Celtic and Kilmarnock and Rangers and Hearts fans are. So everywhere you look, there's a story to tell.
And today, Gordon Dieler, some big games, some big results, lots of goals scored.
Yeah, got off to a great start up at Dens. After 20 minutes, they'd scored four goals, and unfortunately it ended that way. Hibs favourites at home against a struggling St Mirren, go over the line, another good 3 points. And obviously Dundee United going to Falkirk. Everybody fancied Falkirk, the form they're in, going to be probably in the top six. It was important for Jim to get a result, and he was aided by the fact that Falkirk went down to 10 men, made that advantage count. So it was a good day for Dundee United.
Yeah, a big win for Dundee United for me. When you look at four defeats in a row coming into this game, a difficult fixture away to Falkirk, they managed to get 3 points, so that's a huge boost for them. But it's worrying times for St Mirren. For me, again, it's another defeat, and as you mentioned in the show earlier, not just in isolation this one game, it's the consistency. When are they going to get back to winning ways? So yeah, real concern for St Mirren fans.
Usual number 0141 951 1025. So let's hear from you again. Looking back on today, you St Mirren fans, it's not that long ago you beat Hearts, that was a great night. Has today's result worried you at all? When you look at the table, are you fearful of dropping into that relegation spot, or is it too early for all that stuff? Have you still got enough in the tank? Are we overreacting by asking the question? You can let us know, please. Falkirk fans, you sounded very annoyed at the referee, judging by Fraser Wishart's full-time report, so we'd like to hear your explanations as to why on the same number. And like we said, tomorrow, just how big is it? Is it must win for Rangers? What team should Danny Rule pick? Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain? So many subplots. Hugh Keevans, you've been left alone this Valentine's weekend.
Yeah.
What a double header, though, seriously. We've even, due to the FA Cup, I would imagine, prime time slot on Sunday afternoon for the Scottish game, and it should be unmissable.
Well, you look at Celtic's last two games, Cup and League, and they owe Junior Adamu for keeping them in the Scottish Cup. They owe Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain for keeping them in the title race. Now, Martin O'Neill himself said it's not feasible to go on scoring goals in the dying seconds of the games. Celtic have to start positively against Kilmarnock tomorrow. I'd be tempted to play Oxlade-Chamberlain from the start. I really would, because Hatate's form has gone off a cliff. Engels is unfit. And I just think he has already started to become an inspirational figure. I'd be tempted to go with him from the start.
But surely, Hugh, if they were going to go down that road, the other night against Livingston at home would have been the ideal for it to start him. Because you're going to a different pitch, you're going to a harder game, you get 13 minutes. I don't think, could be wrong, I don't know what Martin O'Neill's got to do, but I will be amazed if he starts from the kickoff.
I understand why, Hugh, you're saying that, because absolutely he's going to be such an important player for Celtic. I think he'll play a huge part in what happens in the game tomorrow, because for me, I've said since he's came into the club, he is a top player. It's just that worry that you cannot afford him to get injured between now and the end of the season, because it's such an important run-in. But I totally understand why you say he could play from the start.
Others, Cammy, have got to come to the fore.
Yep.
Schwanciara missed a really good chance against Livingston midweek, and these missed chances aren't helping. So Martinelli will be looking to start very, very positively, because Neil McCann and Billy Dodds have undoubtedly turned Kilmarnock around. And now Kilmarnock are looking at St Mirren and thinking, we could go above them.
What do you make of that, Kelly fans and St Mirren fans? Gordon and Cammy Hughes given his big build-up, and I'm sure we'll do more. Whilst the calls get lined up, just sum up how big and how important Ibrox is going to be.
Oh, it's massive, especially when they know what the result will be at Kilmarnock, first and foremost. They could begin into that game, bit of pressure put on from Celtic if they get the result. I think it'll be difficult, but I still fancy Celtic to do the business down there. And then it's Rangers Hearts. Now, I know Danny Rowe come in for a bit of criticism Wednesday night against Motherwell about team selections, tactics, everything. But if you go and beat Hearts at the weekend, and then you look back in the last two games, really difficult, 4 points out of six, all of a sudden closing that gap against Hearts as well. So that'd be massive for them. But Hearts will go to Ibrox confident, because they've got the beating of Celtic Rangers. They've been top of the league, and they deserve to be there with their performances. They've showed a lot of guts and fight and everything about them, been down to 10 men and still getting results. And then obviously the late winner in the derby against Hibs. So I think that's an absolute cracker.
Hugh thinks Kilmarnock will beat Celtic tomorrow, and that really opens the door for the other two thereafter. Why don't you even get your predictions? And it would be nice to hear that. But the last time we speak to you, certainly before the first game kicks off tomorrow. So what do you think? How do you see it all going? Who comes out of the weekend the winner, if you like? Who comes out in the best place? Rangers fans, what team should Danny Rowe pick? Because you've been telling us that he got it wrong. So if you agree that he got it wrong the other night, what team should he pick? And will it be enough? And do you need to win this game? Or is it not quite as simple as that? What team does he need to pick, Gordon? Where else the callers get lined up?
I think he's got to bring in the players that he brought in January, Gordon, especially at home. Olsen in the wide area. I know he wasn't good against Hibs, I totally take that on board. But he's in the building now. He's been in for a few weeks. It's taking time for him to settle in. But he's got quality. Let's not be kiddied here. He's got quality.
He'll start up front.
I will be baffled if Chirmiti starts. I just don't see it at all. I know he likes him. I know he goes with him sometimes. But tomorrow, I think he'd be my third choice. I would also look to bring in the left-back, Romans. I think he looks top, top class. I know you can argue, well, we've seen him against Queen's Park 8-0, and, you know, it's easy to play against Queen's Park when you're scoring so many goals. But, and obviously, come on against Kilmarnock as well, down that left-hand side with Moore. I thought that was a big threat. McGomas played well. I'm not knocking him for that, but I just think this lad's a bit better. So I think you've got to go with your strongest team. For me, set plays. Rangers have got a set play coach in, and they've been very good. Fernandes, for me, comes in. I really do, because he scored five goals. So I think you've got to have a threat against
the better defender than Diego.
Without a shadow of doubt. Yeah,
yep, same.
Yeah, I think there'll be two or three.
Was probably more injury related, was it not? The other night, him coming back,
probably. But I do see him starting tomorrow, Gordon. But if you're bringing players in,
do you not think he will start Chirmiti though?
No, I think he might go Nadiri. Is it Nadiri?
Yeah.
Pronounced
Ryan Nadiri. Yeah. I think he will start.
You think so?
Yeah, I think he looks. I know he came from the third tier of German football, but he looks a natural, which Chirmiti does not.
Rangers need a goal scorer on the pitch tomorrow, because I don't think they'll get a huge amount of chances. But reflect back to that one chance that Chirmiti had. If you've got a natural goal scorer, if you put a Shankland in that position, the ball hits the back of the net, and they're such an important moments in games for Rangers. When they're 1-0 up, they had that chance to go 2-0 up, that game ends differently, and Chirmiti doesn't produce them goals that they need.
Yeah, you brought in players in January to strengthen your team and try and win the league. You've got your biggest game of the season so far at home to Hearts tomorrow. It's so, so important for them. They've paid an extra $2 million when they could have left this guy to the summer. So why not start him?
Don't get me wrong, I'm not expecting Danny Rule to come and speak like a fan when he speaks about Yusuf Chirmiti. That would be a bit bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
But he's an excellent bluffer, but he never seems to be as sort of worried about Yusuf Chirmiti as fans are.
No, listen, I think he's got to put that out to the media that, again, he's backing his striker. There's been a lot of money spent on him. Again, I don't think the manager coming out and criticising him would help him at all at this moment in time. He's got to try and give him as much faith as he can between now and the end of the season. I just feel as if this is the opportunity that he's... Tomorrow's a huge match. And again, as I said before, I don't think Rangers will create a huge amount of chances. I think it'll be a very, very close game. We all know Hearts are good defensively. So them chances you get, you've got to take. These are the big moments, big games that are going to change Rangers' season. So they need somebody up top that gets one or two chances and the ball goes in the back of the net.
People keep almost waiting on Hearts not being able to sustain it. And maybe they won't, but if they leave with a draw tomorrow, that is six head-to-heads against Celtic and Rangers this season.
Yeah, psychologically, that's
defeats, that would be remarkable, wouldn't it?
Everyone's looking for a psychological lift tomorrow. Celtic, Rangers and Hearts. And if Hearts get a draw at Ibrox, it's dangerous to go there with that mindset, and I don't think they will. I think Derek McInnes will insist on them going to win the game, but a draw would be... fine in it, but bearing in mind that if Celtic win at Kilmarnock, they're...
But you don't think they will. You think Kelly win that game?
I think they're... you know, the last time it was 1-1, dying second, Celtic got a highly controversial penalty and Ian Atcher scored. The way things are going for Kilmarnock at the moment, they're scoring goals and... I don't think there's any reason to say that a win for Kilmarnock is out of the question.
They're also leaking them, though.
I think it's very hard to base that, because I know what Hugh's saying, you've still got to score them, and I think they have improved under Neil McCann, no doubt about that, and give them some credit. Like, they scored four against St Mirren, who can't buy a win. They're in real relegation trouble. St Mirren scored three against them. You know, Celtic are going down there knowing the fact that we can put real pressure on Rangers and Hearts here by the time they kick off. I know it's a difficult game, and I do agree with you. It will be a difficult game. I can't see past Celtic one.
But Celtic have played the bottom two teams in succession here. Dundee in the Cup, Livy in the league.
And won both.
And they've won both. Yeah. Listen, I think...
The skin of their teeth.
Yeah, Celtic haven't been brilliant, but again, you look at the Livingston game, they had enough chances. If they score that second goal, I think it's a lot more comfortable. The message from Martin O'Neill is take your chances, be ruthless at the top end of the pitch tomorrow, because that's going to be so important. I think they will get chances because Kilmarnock are defensively really vulnerable. Listen, Kilmarnock definitely have improved. I want to say that first and foremost, but the two teams have beat, listen, again, a St Mirren, who are on a real bad run of form. Aberdeen, who absolutely don't rate at this moment in time, are really struggling. They're the two teams that Kilmarnock have beat, so it's going to be intriguing tomorrow.
Okay, 0141 951 1025. Perfect time to call. We'll line up the calls next. So what are you thinking ahead of tomorrow, Rangers fans? Is it must win? What's your team? What does Danny Rule need to do? Hearts fans, can you keep this brilliant head-to-head record going? Celtic fans, Hugh doesn't think that you will even get a point at Kilmarnock. Do you disagree? Should Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain start? And what about today's action as well? If you call us right now, we'll do our very best to get you on next.
After they play, you have your say. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
Hugh Keevans, Cammy Bell and Gordon DL are here. They were about to be joined by Lee and Cambus Lang, who has just disappeared for some reason. Give us a call back, Lee. We were excited to speak to you. Whilst we try and do that, let's hear from Marvin Bartley, the managerial reaction starting to come into today. Remember, he was 2-0 down after 5 minutes and drew 2-2. Actually fought back to 2-2 very quickly, and then nothing really happened for the remainder of the game. So here is what he had to say.
I wish I could sum it up. I nearly had a heart attack at the start. But no, listen, I said to the players at half time, you know, full credit to them, because you know, we started the game poorly, conceding goals that we shouldn't be conceding, but that's been kind of our Achilles heel throughout the whole season. But to bounce back the way they did and to get it back to 2-2 and then look a threat even, you know, beyond that, I can only be proud of them. So yeah, listen, it's a huge point for us because it's a point closer to the teams above us. You know, and it starts taking us in the right direction. I was probably in shock because I just didn't see that, you know, that kind of start, and it just felt that it wasn't, you know, without being disrespectful, it wasn't like they were well worked goals or the goal that Hamlin scores against Celtic in the Cup. It wasn't that sort of thing. It was like things that were avoidable from our point of view. So yeah, you do begin to fear because you think, are we not at the races today? You know, we've now been spooked because we're now 2 goals down. And one of the massive things to me, I say to the players, you're going to deal with adversity in football, but you see, when you concede one goal, the next 5 or 10 minutes are absolutely vital to make sure you don't concede another. And you know, that didn't really happen today. So yeah, there was a bit of shock, but you know, once we calmed down, you know, I've got massive belief in that group of players in there.
Lee is in Cambus Lang. Lee, what are you thinking about Ibrox tomorrow?
So I'm pretty confident about tomorrow, to be honest. I think if Danny Rule gets his team selection correct, then I think absolutely we'll get 3 points in the bag. I think Hearts kind of keep this going. They were lucky the other night, I would say, against Hibs. But I'm a seasoned ticket holder. I've not had a chance to get to Ibrox often this year just due to work commitments and stuff like that. But I managed to get along to the Queen's Park game, and I know, no disrespect to Queen's Park, but with the new signings on the park, they just looked so attacking. Everton seemed a bit fluid. Everton seemed to be clicking with the team, especially the boy at left back, Romans. Thought every time he got the ball or every time Rangers were in possession, he looked a lot more attacking than what Magoma is. I'd like to just see all these new guys coming into the lineup again tomorrow. Hopefully we can get the 3 points. I'd imagine we will do.
Lee, you use a phrase there. Hearts can't keep this going. Hearts have been top of the league for 20 weeks. They are keeping it going.
I know, but Hugh, I just don't think they've got the depth in their squad to continue playing the way they're playing. Do you know what I mean? Absolutely, there's no disrespect to them because they have obviously been playing well this season, haven't they? But and they're getting, well, maybe not playing well the past few games, but they're getting the results, which is obviously most
important. Lee, I think they have got the resources, because you look the other night, they lost the spine of their team. Halkett, Delvin and Shanklin were all missing. Massive players for them.
They're missing Shanklin, though, aren't they? Because Ken Okobore got the double at Tannadice, but you watch him the other night.
Every team will miss Shanklin.
Well, that's what I'm saying, though.
Every team, but they're still winning games. They're still top of the league. Look,
it wasn't that long ago they didn't win against the Mirren.
But they're going to lose one or two games. But they're rightly top of the league. But what I will do is I agree with Lee in the fact that team selection tomorrow, if it was me, I would have the new signings in. I think they look better. Kasama the other night to me was non-existent. I really did think he was non-existent. Chermiti, we've seemed to have this thing about him. I'm sorry, he's just not for me. I don't think he's going to cut it. I think if you're a Rangers striker, and we talk about the price tag, you've got to score more than what he's got, 4 goals or something this season. Definitely, I like the look of left back. I've said that earlier. Magoma's done not a lot wrong. I think he's went in there. He's a young lad. He's been excellent at times. But I just think playing against a Hearts side that have got a bit of quality, can hurt you and will be a big, big threat against you, I think you've got to go with your best players, and that's why I would go with the new ones coming in.
Yeah, I would agree. I think there's got to be changes, and I think the manager will understand that as well, that maybe he did slightly get his team selection slightly wrong on Wednesday night. But again, I think tomorrow, it's so important that Rangers start the game well. I think if they start on the front foot, take the game to Hearts, then that's going to be such a key way to get at this Hearts side. You can't let Hearts get belief within the game. If Rangers manage to score early in the game, then they can almost spook Hearts a little bit. So I think the new signings coming in, I think will be a real impact, because again, you've got that adrenaline. A lot of these guys haven't experienced that big game. I know a couple of them had game time against Queen's Park, but that's nothing like facing Hearts, who are top of the league at Ibrox, which is going to be electric tomorrow, because all the Rangers fans know how important tomorrow's game is.
Yeah, it sold out instantly. I'm reliably informed that there's a much wider media interest than normal from like different parts of the country and parts of Europe and so on. So it really, it's caught the imagination, this picture at the top of the table. Lee, what's the kind of label you would put on it? Is it must win for Rangers? Is it not quite as far as that? Is it a bit early for that? Is it must not lose? You know, what's the feeling?
See, that during the week, I say to a few guys in work, I thought the next 4 games makes or breaks Rangers' season. I thought Motherwell at Fir Park the other night was probably a bigger game than what we're getting to the Mora, to be honest.
Oh, I'm not sure about that.
No, no. Playing against top of the table. I agree with you. Listen, I thought the other night there, Motherwell was always going to be a difficult game. We had a guy on here on Tuesday, Mark, talking about Rangers playing with swagger. I couldn't understand that. I've not seen Rangers playing with a swagger. The one thing you will say about the manager, he was getting results, and that's what he's there for. And I thought he's been absolutely brilliant. Manager of the month on the Tuesday, and then he goes to Fir Park and gets off to a great start. And after that, Motherwell were by far the better team. But the importance tomorrow is you do not want to lose more distance on the league leaders.
I think when you look at now that if Rangers had won that Motherwell game, I'm not saying a draw would be acceptable tomorrow, but I think it would be, it would still leave them in a position that they could go.
So basically, and 4 points between the two
games.
Yeah,
absolutely. So now all it does for me is when they lost that late goal against Motherwell, all it does for me is ramp up the pressure on Rangers. They're at home. Now they need to win that game. For me, they absolutely need to win the game tomorrow.
You've mentioned the players that you think are kind of key, if you like, Lee, are the ones that give you confidence. Is there anything that worries you at all, or is it fully secure confidence?
No, so I think, I know Chermiti's been a bit of a talking point when it's came to Rangers this season, and we've obviously splashed out an extra couple of million for the big guy in the Derry up top. Watching him live at Queen's Park, I like the way the guy moves, you know what I mean? And I think even the other night, watching the game against Motherwell, I think there was maybe chances when it was him and Chermiti up top together, and Adairy was maybe getting into either positions and playing the ball in for Chermiti. And you think, genuinely, I think if Adairy was on, and the roles were reversed, and it was Chermiti playing the ball into Adairy, I think the big guy just looks maybe a natural goal scorer than what Chermiti does.
Yeah, the only thing I'll say about that, Lee, is I don't think he'll start with two up top tomorrow. I watched the game. I was at the game on Wednesday, and I was behind the goal, and I had a great view of Chermiti and his movement and everything about him. And it feels like a witch hunt here. I hate doing this, but you've got to be honest. He doesn't look. He would be third choice striker right now for me. He might come in time to come. I thought after the Celtic game, you could not get a bigger confidence booster in your life than scoring two goals against Celtic away from home, and all of a sudden you become an instant hero. But he's not kicked on from that, and that's a problem for him.
So you get to a stage where people say you can't keep mentioning the price tag, but you can, and people will. You just will never be able to shake it. But maybe we're probably in a place with him now where the debate about whether he plays or not actually has nothing to do with the price tag. You know, it's just who's the best option.
Yeah, I agree with the Dazzler. For me, he's third choice behind Mayovsky and Ryan Nivier. I think the price tag, if you're scoring goals, then people say, well, you get what you pay for. If you're not scoring goals, yeah, people mention the price tag because you should be getting what you paid for.
Go on, Lee, leave us with a score prediction.
I'll go 2-0 Rangers.
2-0 Rangers. Let's hear from Danny Rule. These are his thoughts heading into that one tomorrow at Ibrox.
We can close to 2 points, and it would be massive. I think every game now it's crucial. Both or all the teams now know every result influence a lot, but every result is also not the final decision making. I think this is also very important to understand. We go in the home game. I think we have a good run at home with a lot of good results, a lot of clean sheets, but we face a strong side.
You're getting it tight now on Neil Valentine's.
Why does that surprise me?
Well, but some are topical. Roses are red, violets are blue. The hearts are on top, but the boys will pull through, says Grant. So some are very
good
topical, but Lynn has got it in for you. Violets are blue, red are the roses. Send the L to Turkey to look at new noses.
I bet you Lynn's a charmer.
That's harsh. Let's bring it. You're going to say something you regret.
Yeah, exactly.
So stop. Thank you to Lee in Camus Lang. There's more managerial reaction to today's games making its way to us, so we will play you that. Keen to get your thoughts on tomorrow as well. Paul is a Celtic fan. What a day tomorrow, Paul. You get to go first, though. What does it all look like from where you're sitting?
So I'm a keen observer of Mr. DL's life. I'm just amazed at how celebrities do. I'm racking my brains to see what show he's going to go on.
No, all will be revealed.
I want to put a bet on the local bookie that he's going to win his local club championship with the amount of golf he's playing. So I'm going to get a side bet on that.
It probably is, Paul. That would be the best show for me. Golf, keep out of trouble.
That is not the most exciting sporting achievement of the season, though. Somebody will win the league, and we're trying to figure out who it's going to be, Paul. What does tomorrow hold significance wise?
So, in homage to my late brother, I started going to the lounge with. I remember turning up at Celtic Park one day in the Walter Smith, the last Walter Smith era, the 18 millionaire, if you like, and he had David Weir, Stephen Davis, Chris Boyd, Alan McGregor, and I said to him, they've got leaders all over the pitch, we're in trouble. And my theory here is that Celtic have McGregor, Tierney, Schmeichel to an extent, and now Oxlade-Chamberlain if he can get on the pitch. And you maybe even put Trusty in there as people, not even so much about been over the course of it winning the league, but when it comes down to crucial moments, then I think leadership, as much as experience, is going to be crucial.
It's always been the bit that we can't measure. You can have your theories on, can't be proven or disproven one way or the other. It's certainly a valid conversation, though. How much weight does it hold that Celtic have done this before?
Yeah, I think Celtic are in a transitional period. McGregor's a terrific leader. The number of trophies that Callum McGregor led Celtic to tells you that's the case. And Schmeichel, all the experience in the world, Austin Trusty, Kieran, because he'd been there for so long, the club means so much to him. But in other respects, you know, Celtic are bringing in players, five loanees plus Oxlade-Chamberlain. The five loanees are trying to get to grips with what the club means to people. Players like Hatate and Maeda look as if they're really not focused at the moment, particularly Hatate, who, as I say, his form has just gone off a cliff. Maeda, Martin O'Neill let it slip that he thought he was going to Wolfsburg, and then that fell through. So they're in a strange place, and the crowd are in a strange place. You know, I'm told by friends of mine who have been at the last two games that there's been all manner of toxic atmosphere in the Dundee game and in the Livingston game.
I don't think Livy ever got toxic, to be honest. I was there. I think it got a wee bit nervy, and there was a few sack the boards when it was late on. It was one each, but then the roof came off the place when goal went.
But as Martin O'Neill himself said, you can't go on expecting that to be the case. So tomorrow is very important at Kilmarnock, and a good start's very important. But in terms of leadership, Celtic are going to have a massive rebuild in the summertime. And McGregor will need to be there to oversee that.
That is next season, to be fair. Mm-hmm. This season, what do you think of Celtic's experience of winning? Maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe you think it doesn't, but floating the question.
You're looking at probably guys that are starting week in, week out. You're looking at maybe five or six. The rest of the
could be more if Johnston and Carter-Vickers were fit, but they're not.
Yeah, exactly. I think, the difference for me, I think you touched on it. I think this season, Hatate and Maeda have been well off it. Well off the pace for me. What they can give. They're talented footballers. You look at Maeda last year, won every award going, rightly so. He was absolutely brilliant. Hatate, there talks about big moves for him here, there and everywhere. If Celtic, for some reason, can pull them back to the form that they showed last year, I think Celtic become a real, real threat in this title race. Right now, I couldn't pick between Hearts, Rangers and Celtic so close.
If Hatate thinks he should be a bigger, better club than Celtic, then he'll need to start playing in order to convince someone that he is worth buying. But right at the moment, you wouldn't touch him.
Arne Engel's injury, so we wait and see what that department looks like. Paul, have you got a concern over Rio Hatate?
Yeah, I think that that might be Martin O'Neill's focus in getting the... I'm quite surprised at the Japanese guys because they always pride themselves in professionalism. And it looks as if Maeda is either carrying an injury or he has down tools to a certain degree that he's not pressing as much and he's certainly not covering the amount of grass that he used to. So I do have a concern about that. And Hugh's right. There's a lot of inexperience, a lot of new players coming in. I've watched Kieran Tierney very closely. I wasn't in favour of bringing him back, but I thought one of the rationales of bringing him back was that he was going to help McGregor with what the club's all about and all that stuff. But on the pitch, you just see him. The other night there, he came on and he was his best man in the park, and he just so. Not to just hang my hat just on him, but the likes of him and McGregor and more experienced pros that have played in bigger games, Craig Halkett, Lorne Shankland, how big an arena have they actually played in before? And I'm not saying that's a given, but I just think it will, when it comes down to the split and it comes down to the squeaky bum time, then I think that will be a factor.
Yeah, I think Paul makes up a good point right at the end there. The split, I've always spoke about the split this season. It's going to be so important. I think when you look at Hearts, that's where my doubt is about Hearts. I think Hearts are a fantastic team. They've done well to be where they are, and I think they'll hang in there. They'll absolutely hang in there. But when the split comes, these big games, you need to go to Motherwell, you need to face a Falkirk, you need to face a Rangers, a Celtic. Can they maintain that? Can they handle the pressure? And again, when you look at Rangers and Celtic, they've done it before, they've been there before, so that little bit of experience, and I don't even think it's just the players on the pitch, I think it's as a club. Again, do the fans start to get nervous at Hearts? I don't know, they might embrace it, I could be completely wrong, but I just feel as if the split's going to be so important, but there's no getting away from it. It's a big match for Celtic tomorrow. If they can imply the pressure on Rangers and Hearts tomorrow by getting a victory at Kilmarnock, I think they're sitting in a nice position just to watch the outcome of that game.
You can always spin these things. I noticed Craig Halkett speaking, was it yesterday, saying that he thinks having not been there, it's not a burden, it helps, because you don't have sort of memories either way. You don't have scar tissue of things like this going wrong. Yeah, you don't have the good memories to draw on either, but he feels like they are managing to just take it. Oh, I can't believe I'm using the worst cliche in the book, but one game at a time and just kind of going with it.
Surely my opinion here, I know what Paul's saying, but I think Hearts can handle it, no problem, because I think if you look at Halkett and Finlay this year, I think they've been a better partnership than Scales and Trusty.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They've been absolutely brilliant together. And that's why a big reason why Hearts are sitting top of the league. Devlin in the middle of parts has been brilliant. Shanklin is just a leader and a goal scorer as well. I totally agree. I sit here week in, week out, and I'm thinking, right, who? I'm a little bit like you, but who actually puts it out there? I don't. I sit in the fence. Who's going to win the league? I really don't know.
Whoever does win the league, and with tremendous excitement and... for this programme, it's been terrific, the three-way fight for the league. But whoever wins it, you couldn't say, in all honesty, it's been a vintage year for that club in terms of the football played.
That doesn't matter, though, especially for Hearts.
I fully understand that. As I said, I remember the day they lost it 40 years ago, and I remember the devastation. So if they win it and end 40 years of anguish and hurt, it will be scenes like we've rarely seen before. However, as I say, whoever wins it couldn't say the football has been vintage from start to finish.
That can't apply to Hearts. Maybe I'll let you away with the other two, but if Hearts win a title for the first time, as you said there, in all that time, in the first since the mid-80s, where it's anyone outside Celtic or Rangers, it's a lot more than a vintage season.
In historical terms, but as I say...
You're talking about quality of football.
I'm separating the narrative from what actually took place on the park.
Yeah, but if it's a team like Hearts, so that's what I think is the difference. Who cares about what would style come into that? Can you imagine next year and they go, title win was great, but Because you wish your ball possession had been a bit higher. That ain't going
to
happen.
Gordon, no. I'm going to say something. I would throw Rangers into this equation as well.
Because they've not really won enough either. Yeah, fair.
See, months ago, we had fans, Rangers fans, coming on here and saying, we have absolutely no chance of winning the league. Absolutely. Danny Rowe come in and he's been absolutely brilliant. So it'd be great for Rangers as well. And obviously Celtic, they do it year in, year out usually. So that's why it's so exciting.
And even at that, you can make a case of having... If they do the recovery after, I mean, listen, I don't. Celtic and Rangers can't get away with an underdog story because they've got so much more money than Hearts. But if the Celtic come through the Wilfred Nancy experiment and still win it, there'll be an element of satisfaction there. So thank you very much to Paul on the line. It's a good time to get involved. We will speak to you next.
After the action, it's your reaction. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards open line.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Give us a call, please, on 0141 951 1025. We'd like to hear your thoughts on today's football. St Mirren fans, are you starting to worry? Are you starting to fear getting dragged in? It wasn't so long ago you beat Hearts, to be fair, and it's not been a terrible run. But that defeat today, the league table's maybe not looking great. So let's hear from you, please. And then tomorrow, who thinks Killie will beat Celtic? What do you think? Should Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain start? And what about all the storylines running beneath Hearts' trip to Ibrox? There is a lot to like about that fixture. No matter whether you're a Hearts fan, a Rangers fan, or an interested neutral, it is going to be unmissable. So all your calls in right now if you can. Let's get some more managerial reaction today as well. I hope Jim Goodwin isn't told about the start of the show when a few of the pundits had them to finish 11th. They've now won the game at Falkirk. They've opened up a nice bit of space and they've got some games in hand. Here's what he had to say.
It's a massive result off the back of the poor run that we've been on. You know, we all understood the importance of the game today, trying to close the gap on Falkirk. You know, that closes it down to, you know, 3 points. And then we've got a couple of games in hand on them as well. So if we can go and perform like that on an offensive front in the weeks to come, then we give ourselves a good chance of continuing this fight for the top six, albeit we know, you know, we've given ourselves a bit of a mountain to climb, but we certainly won't stop trying. And look, we're delighted with the result. We certainly won't be getting carried away. There's still elements of our game that we need to improve on. But the players showed great character, I thought, today, and real resilience to come back on a couple of occasions and to go and get a massive 3 points for us.
That's looking nice, sir, for them now. They're levelling points with Aberdeen in 7th, actually, you know, on 28 points. If they have any hopes of making the top 6, they had to take something off Falkirk as well and do that kind of 6-pointer thing. Falkirk are still 11 points ahead of them, but they've got 2 games in hand on the United, so certainly a bit looking up now, is it, when you look at the...
They've got 7 games to go to the split, Dundee United. Today was their 25th game, 7 games to the split. Arithmetically, they're still in there with a chance of putting Falkirk out of the top six and themselves into the top six. So Jim Goodwin is quite right to raise that topic.
I agree with Jim and being positive after a good 3 points today. But top six, I would be very surprised. Not for me. I don't think Dundee United have got the quality. I know they've got 2 games in hand. It's okay saying you've 2 games in hand, you've got to win them, and they're still behind Falkirk. Falkirk, yes, a disappointing today, but remember they've been down to 10 men as well and they lost the winner. So not for me. I don't think Dundee United will be a top 6 team this season.
We said before that Falkirk would take some catching anyway, regardless of what happened today, so that might still be the case, but it still feels like an important win. It maybe in 190 minutes does change the conversation about relegation. Not for Roger Hanna, apparently, but for everybody else.
No, listen, what it does for Dundee United, it breaks that cycle of losing games. They lost 4 in a row before this. They've got a cup game coming up against Spartans that they should take care of at home, and then they face Kilmarnock at home as well. So they've got games coming up they can win. The top six for me is out of sight for them. I think the top six is set in my eyes at this moment in time. But what they can do is take this all away from any sort of relegation battle. And I'm pretty sure Jim Goodwin will want to do that and sort of finish the season as strong as he can. But I think it's too late for a push for that top six.
Let's hear from David Gray as well. A good win for them. 2-0 against St Mirren.
I think... Obviously, delighted for Owen on his first start. He's had to be patient because, just through circumstances, he's not got on in the last couple of games as well. I thought he was affected the game in a positive way against Rangers when he came on. And everything we hoped to see from him today, we definitely did, which was bringing that energy, that youthful exuberance to the game that I think was required today off the back of the disappointment of last week. And then on a personal note for Ante coming on as a sub, he'll be disappointed he's not started at times, but that's exactly all you can do as a sub. The team that starts is never a team that finishes it, and can you, you know, come on and affect the game? And he's certainly done that. I thought Kai done that as well, you know, sub coming on, control at the right time. So all in all, delighted with the performance, but the most important thing today was all about the 3 points, especially off the back of, you know, that real disappointment last week. You don't always get what you deserve in football, but I think we certainly got what we deserve today, which is the pleasing thing and something to build on.
Two points behind Motherwell now. Motherwell play Aberdeen tomorrow.
5 points behind. Yes.
That confident about the Steelmen tomorrow.
Yeah. I think it would be good for Aberdeen.
Yeah, Aberdeen have brought in Tony Docherty for a reason, and the reason is they're simply not getting anything out of their players, and it's been a very, very poor season from Aberdeen's perspective.
Yeah, I agree with that, but it's all about Hibs today. I think David Gray, I like listening, I think he's always up front and honest about the way his team's going about their business. They played well against Hearts.
Yeah.
They probably deserved to get something, but all credit to Hearts. And it was so important, especially at home today, against a struggling St Mirren. You've got to get the 3 points. You've got to get the 3 points. 2-0, clean sheet as well. So David Gray's a happy man tonight.
It was a good win for Hibs today because, again, when you put it into context, they are closer to Motherwell. They want to finish in that fourth position. It's going to be a big ask because we know how good Motherwell have been this season. Hibs have kind of been inconsistent at parts. But again, can he finish his season strong? Can he get some big wins? Take his team into that fourth position? And I think if he finishes fourth, it would be a successful season for Hibs when you look at it.
Let's hear from Martin O'Neill, ahead of that trip to Rugby Park tomorrow.
Really difficult game, obviously. They're in a good run of form now at this moment. It changes and, really expect a difficult match. They'll be up for it anyway. If those late goals did prove resilience and a bit of character, that's great. But I don't think you can live in your nerves for the rest of the time like that there, expecting or hoping that you're going to dig out a winner late, very late on. It's just... It's not plausible, I don't think.
That's the expression there from Martin O'Neill. You can't go on living on your nerves. The fans are living on their nerves watching the team. The manager's living on his nerves watching the team. The start to the match tomorrow is all important for Celtic. You know, if Kilmarnock score the first goal, they're bang up against it. Celtic have to start games and be more clinical in the starting of the games to make it easier for themselves. They ought to be, remember, you're talking about a championship contender playing a team second bottom of the table. Celtic struggled against Libby because they weren't clinical enough. They struggled in the cup against Dundee because they weren't clinical enough. They've got to go to Rugby Park, start well, and the likelihood is they would finish well under those circumstances.
We are nearly out of time, but Alec on the line, if you can make it quick, I'd love to have you on before the end, so take it away.
Hi, Mr. Cavins. Every time he does a prediction, they sell it, you never heard a plane. Always gets it wrong. So just wonder what the panel thinks about that.
That doesn't apply to Celtic, applies to everybody.
No, he's made a career out of it.
No, you've found me Kilmarnock are going to beat Celtic tomorrow.
Tell me the score. Can you tell me what the score will be?
I don't know, but 3-0 to Celtic.
Well, will you phone back if it's a Kilmarnock win?
No.
At least he's honest. I didn't say we need to be quick. Thank you to Alec on the line. The last two games of Gordon, it feels like they're different. I know they've got late winners in both.
Mm-hmm.
But Dundee, Celtic didn't create those chances. It wasn't about being clinical. There was a lot more to it. Livy was, he scored a couple in the first half. You've got nothing to worry about in terms of these nerves towards the end or whatever. So, you know, I don't know which category tomorrow will fall into.
Yeah, we'll just have to wait and see, Gordon. We're talking about two big games. Obviously Motherwell and Aberdeen's another one. Motherwell sitting up there in fourth. So, look, I know it will be difficult. Neil and Dodgy have got their team well organised now. The recruitment in January has been good. Added to that, they've got a goal scorer. I just think the importance of the game, putting pressure on Rangers, Hearts, Martin O'Neill, Celtic will have too much, and I do believe that Hearts can go to Ibrox and get a point.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a brilliant afternoon of football. When you look at the Kilmarnock-Celtic game, I think it'll be very, very tight, because as you say, I think Neil and Dodgy have got Kilmarnock playing well with a bit of confidence as well. But I think Celtic will just sneak it. And as I say, at Ibrox, I said it before, I think Rangers will sneak it there as well.
Today, outstanding story for me, St Mirren and Freefall. One win in the last seven games. If Kilmarnock get a win over Celtic, then they are joint second bottom with St Mirren. That's today. Tomorrow, anything could happen, because anything has happened all season long. But one thing I do know, the triple header tomorrow is unmissable.
Absolutely is. 4 o'clock tomorrow is the return of Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Andrew McLean and the guys have got you covered, so make sure you join them. And in the meantime, you can stay right there, because the GBX is up next.